The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is the meaning of the phrase, the preachers of the cross in 1 Corinthians? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got a question, you can send it to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Let's go right to today's interesting discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're taking some questions. This is a question from Guido, and Guido says, I'm having trouble understanding 1 Corinthians 1:18. My difficulty is with the phrase, the preaching of the cross. Please help me to reconcile this with the promises in John. So that apparently there's a conflict he sees between 1 Corinthians 1:18 in John. And it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Well, the first point that should cause you a certain amount of question is the words, to us who are being saved. Why doesn't it say to us who are saved? I mean, what is the point of to us who are being saved?
Mm-hmm.
The idea would be that he's talking about sanctification here. And he uses salvation often in 1 Corinthians to refer to sanctification or to be spiritually healthy.
Okay.
So it might be to those who are spiritually healthy. For example, in 1 Corinthians 5:5, I've turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that is, his fleshly inclinations, that his spirit might be saved in the day of Christ Jesus. That means that his spirit would be healthy in the day of Christ Jesus, which is the judgment seat of Christ.
Okay.
And here, the idea of perishing is normally taken as those who are going to the lake of fire, and those who are being saved refers to those who are born again.
Right. So what would the perishing be here?
Well, I think it's an open question. The perishing could refer to those who are in the process, if they don't come to faith, of being eternally condemned. But the word apolemy, its normal meaning in the New Testament is destruction or loss.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I just spoke on this last Sunday from my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words,
Okay. And
I pointed out that 9 times out of 10, it refers to some sort of loss now. May your silver perish with you, gold which is perishable.
Yeah.
The disciples in the boat, Lord, save us, we're perishing.
Yeah.
Well, neither the salvation nor the perishing has to do with eternal matters. It's we're dying here, save us from the storm.
Yeah.
In this case, I think it refers to the fact that the message of the cross is the power of God so that we might be holy people.
Okay.
And so the perishing, I think here, probably could refer to either believers or unbelievers.
Yeah.
It's the people who are not walking in fellowship with God.
Okay.
And those who are being saved would refer to those who are ones who are not only believers, but they are walking in fellowship with God.
Well, what about verse 21? He uses save again, and it saved those who believe.
Yeah. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness to save those who believe.
Yeah.
So I think the salvation in verse 21 refers to an accomplished fact.
Okay.
And the only condition there is believing. But it seems that in verse 18, he doesn't state the condition of this ongoing salvation, this being saved. I would say that this is different. And the reason it's different is the one in verse 21 is looking at the by faith salvation that's a present experience as opposed to verse 18. But let's come back to Guido's question. Why does he have a problem? Let's say that the verse said, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are in the process of being eternally condemned, but to us who have been saved, if that's what it said, is the power of God. What would the problem be?
Maybe it's because in here, Paul is preaching the cross to get people eternally saved, whereas in John, there is no mention of the cross.
Okay.
And we say that's the message you believe to be eternally saved. So how do you reconcile those two?
Well, let's say I don't think that's what Paul is saying here any more than in Romans 1 when he talks about the gospel being the power of God unto salvation, which, by the way, we got power here. We've got power of God in Romans 1. And we have salvation in both places, and the salvation in Romans 1 is the salvation of the believer from the wrath of God in this life. You have to be a believer to be saved from the wrath.
See, I always thought it was, if you believe, you're saved.
You know,
the one who believes is saved.
Right.
It's not the one who believes and needs to do extra stuff.
Right. However, in Romans, the salvation does not appear to be deliverance from eternal condemnation, but instead deliverance from wrath.
Okay.
I would just say here, let's say that this is what Guido thinks it is, that what he's saying is he preaches the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. Wouldn't it be true if you said the one who believes in Jesus for everlasting life, the message of John's gospel, has it?
Yeah.
And for those people, the message of the cross is not foolishness, but the message of the cross is the power of God. Now, you could say, well, wait a minute, why don't we see that in the Gospel of John? Well, of course, the Lord Jesus had not yet died, and he rarely said he was going to die. He told the disciples in Matthew 16 that he was going to die. And Peter rebukes him and said, this won't happen to you.
Yeah.
And he alluded to it in John 3 when he said, as the serpent was lifted up, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up.
Yeah.
That was a reference to the cross, but the disciples didn't get it. And it's extremely unlikely Nicodemus got it.
Right.
And evidently nobody got it until after he rose from the dead. Because even after he dies on the cross, they don't believe any longer that he's the Messiah. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus are, we thought this was, you know, the one that was going to redeem Israel.
Yeah.
But now they realize, oh, he was just a great prophet.
Right.
But I guess my point would be this. He's not saying that every person who is born again understands this.
Okay.
I think his point is, this is the message to us who are being saved. To us who are on the road of sanctification, we understand that the cross of Christ is God's power. In other words, the way you and I can live a victorious Christian life is because Jesus died and rose again.
Yeah.
Apart from the cross and the resurrection, there is no power in the Christian life.
Right.
Paul's talking about the power of God in the Christian life.
Whether in John or in Paul, salvation is based on the cross of Christ. That's God's power to offer salvation initially, to be born again. But it's also the ongoing power. You have to take up your cross and follow me. And it's also the power for sanctification. So it's like, it's not exclusive either way. You need the cross for salvation. So I don't see, you know, a difference there. But there is a difference in the message. Like you say, before the cross, Jesus wasn't presenting the cross in his personal evangelism, though he does mention it to his disciples. But then after the cross, I mean, Paul is an example of someone. You start, you tell, hey, the Messiah died for you and he rose again from the dead. So now believe in him.
Right, but maybe this is what Guido's concerned about. Some people, and you've heard this, Sean, some people will say, for example, N.T. Wright, the famous British New Testament scholar, he said that if a person believes that Jesus died on the cross for his sins and rose again, then he's justified, even if he doesn't believe he's justified,
right.
Even if he doesn't believe he has everlasting life. Simply by virtue of believing Jesus died and rose again, you're born again.
Yeah.
There are people who say that.
Yeah.
But as John Piper said, no, you've got to believe in Jesus for what he promises.
Right.
Piper went on to say, you can't be born again by believing in Jesus for a good marriage or believing in Jesus for physical health.
Right.
You have to believe in Jesus for what he promises,
right.
Which Piper was calling justification,
right.
Which is fine, or I would call it everlasting life.
Right. Or Paul says here in 21, he saves those who believe.
Right.
That's part of the preaching of the cross. If you're leaving out the salvation, what the cross accomplishes, then you haven't really
right.
done it.
But the question I think that you've raised, Sean, is a good one. Is the power of God at the end of verse 18 the power of God for sanctification or the power of God for regeneration?
I mean, I personally, I think it could be either in verse 18. I mean, it's the same power for both.
Right. But the point is, you need to meditate on this and pray about this, right? Because it's not obvious that the power here is sanctification, or the power here is regeneration, or both even. The question is, you need to be someone who diligently searches the Scriptures.
Yeah.
As I've looked at perishing in 1 and 2 Corinthians, it's not crystal clear as to what Paul's talking about. As I said earlier, I think it could well refer to believers or unbelievers who are experiencing the deadly consequences of being out of fellowship with God,
yeah,
without having a harmonious relationship with God. But it could refer to those who are eternally condemned, or both. And so you've got to kind of weigh this out. But I agree with you. I don't see any problem, Guido, with this verse, even if Paul was saying that for us who are born again, the cross is the power of God. Okay, that's not saying we don't believe in Jesus for what he promised.
No, I mean, it's the power of God in John 3:16. I mean, John has the death and resurrection of Christ at the end of it. I mean, it's, you know, it's there. It's what makes salvation possible, any kind of salvation possible.
Let me give one other support for my position. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:2, and I've talked about this. But in 15:2, he also uses the present tense of save, and he also uses it in an ongoing sense.
By which you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain.
And he's talking about the gospel in verse 1. And the gospel is the death and resurrection of Jesus,
yeah,
as he goes on to say in verses 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are being saved if we hold fast to the gospel. So I would suggest this ties in with 1:18. It's the power of God as we hold fast to it. But in any regard, I would say meditate on it. Search the Scriptures. Don't take what we're saying, and we're discussing two different options as to what this means.
All right. Thanks for the question, Guido. Radio at Faith Alone. That's where you want to send your questions to, and we'd love to hear from you guys. Talk to you soon. See you next show.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to discuss why is the local church so important. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.